And, but we're going to hear talk about a whole different kind of virus today about the COVID virus, as more importantly, the vaccine that is being fact-tracked and shoved down throats has been really getting me nervous. And if you heard the last couple shows, I've went into some all kinds of problems. I'll have links to those shows. Also, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had a great debate with Alan Dershowitz, bringing up very important factual things about the dangers. I'll include a link to that. And we're also going to be talking about a couple of books. I'll put links down below, but I want to say it here so that we can get the information out. The oldest book is done by Eleonora McBee. If I'm saying her name right, Lionel will correct me. It is called The Poison Needle. McBean. The Poison Needle, it's called. It was first published in 1957. And it has been republished, and it also, the data in there that we'll be talking about has been incorporated in a newer release of a book that's, you can get it, both of these you can get through electronic means, because some of them are hard to find. But the Virus Mania is a book that is, it's a paperback, but you can get it through Amazon in their Kindle. Version. The other book, which is The Poison Needle, it is available on Google Books, but you can also buy a published version of that in paperback for, I think it was $11, reasonable price. And I will put that information later. But remember those two books, Poison Needle and The Virus Mania. We're going to be referring to those. And so, well, I want to welcome back, Lionel. I appreciate you doing the work on this and bringing this stuff to my attention. I did not know about these earlier studies, and I'm glad that you have found them and will share with us today.
Oh, thanks again. I really appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to bring this evidence, because I think it's evidence that is not being brought out at all. And I want to just start into it, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You covered the person's name. This person was born in 1905, and they went through the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. And when I read her testimony, it absolutely floored me what she brings up. And I'm going to just read it from her own words. I'm going to go back to the past and bring this lady forward to our time. And I want everybody to listen to what she has to say, because it is very pertinent to us, because we are now facing the very same situation that they did 100 years ago. We are facing probably the most diabolical agenda ever perpetrated on mankind. And this lady provides an answer, and she provides historical evidence. So again, her name was Eleanor McBean, and I just want to read her own words as she said them clear back then, okay?
All right. 1957, when it was produced, and she lived, was 14 during the flu virus. Go ahead.
All right. Starting out on page 230 in the book called, entitled Virus Mania, she states, "All the doctors and people who were living at the time of the 1918 Spanish influenza epidemic say it was the most terrible disease the world has ever had. Strong men, pale and hardy one day, would be dead the next. The disease had the characteristics of the Black Death, added to it the typhus, diphtheria, pneumonia, smallpox, paralysis, and all the diseases the people had been vaccinated with immediately following World War I. Notice that she said the diseases the people had vaccinated with immediately after World War I. Practically the entire population had been injected and seeded with a dozen or more diseases of toxic serums. When all of those doctors made diseases started breaking out all at once, it was tragic. That pandemic dragged on for 2 years, kept alive with the addition of more poison drugs administered by the doctors who tried to suppress the symptoms. As far as I could find out, the flu hit only the vaccinated. Those who had refused the shots escaped the flu. My family had refused all the vaccinations, so we remained well all the time. We knew from the health teachings of Graham, Trail, Tilden, and others that people cannot contaminate the body with poisons without causing disease. When the flu was at its peak, all the stores were closed, as well as the schools, businesses, even the hospitals, as the doctors and nurses had been vaccinated too and were down with the flu. No one was on the streets. It was like a ghost town. We seemed to be the only family that didn't get the flu, so my parents went from house to house doing what they could to look after the sick, as it was impossible to get the doctors back then. If it were possible for germs, bacteria, virus, or bacilli to cause disease, they had plenty of opportunity to attack my parents when they were spending many hours a day in the sick rooms. But they didn't get the flu, and they didn't bring any germs home to attack us children and cause anything. None of our family had the flu, not even a sniffle, and it was in the winter with deep snow on the ground. When I see people cringe when someone near them sneezes or coughs, I wonder how long it will take them to find out that they can't catch it, whatever it is. The only way they can get a disease is to develop it themselves by wrong eating, drinking, smoking, or doing some other things which cause internal poisoning and lower vitality. All diseases are preventable, and most of them are curable with the right methods, not known to medical doctors, and not all drugless doctors know them either. It has been said that the 1918 flu epidemic killed 20 million people throughout the world, but actually the doctors killed them with their crude and deadly treatments and drugs. This is a harsh accusation, but it is nevertheless true, judging by the success of the drugless doctors in comparison with that of the medical doctors. While the medical men in medical hospitals were losing 33% of their flu cases, the non-medical hospitals such as Battle Creek, Kellogg, and McFadden's Health Restorium were getting almost 100% healings with their water cure, baths, and enemas, and fastings, and certain other simple healing methods followed by carefully worked out diets and natural foods. I wanted to stop right there. So it goes on and on with a lot more information, but I wanted you to get this program started off right. No one is talking about the immune systems. To improve one's own immune system to fight back what we naturally do on a daily basis. Everything we're being pushed by the media is to get a vaccine or to wait for this so-called cure-all vaccine that is supposed to heal us all from this dreaded disease that they claim that is only really killing maybe people in their 70s. That have lower immune systems.
Or other problems, like emphysema, et cetera.
Exactly. They have many other problems, and those problems are coming to the forefront. And naturally, when a person's immune system is lowered, the viruses that are already in your body, that have been there all your life, come to the forefront and overtake a person. So this author of 100 years ago, I believe, has more accuracy and more science than all these people talking about today. All this social distancing and wearing a mask, they did that during their time. The pictures in this book shows that they wore the mask. They still got sick. And they got sick not because the flu hit them. They got sick because they got the vaccinations.
The vaccination put the disease past the natural defense mechanisms on the outside, like you have to breathe it in, you got mucus, your lungs, vitamin D, and so forth, these various things that help stop it from taking hold, they bypassed all of that by sticking it right in your bloodstream.
Right in the bloodstream, exactly. Vaccines defy the natural process of immunization. vaccines bypass the body's main and only safe filter called your tonsils, and your liver filters the blood coming from the digestive tract before passing it to the rest of the body. The liver detoxifies the chemicals and metabolizes the drugs. As it does so, the liver secretes bile that ends up back in the intestines. The two most important parts of our body are the tonsils and the liver. The liver takes on everything that we eat that is bad and stores it and keeps it from going into the bloodstream. When your liver is bad, your immune system is bad.
Yeah, and also the liver metabolizes the toxin, let's say, into a way to get it out of your system, if I can use the term safely or more safely. So it could actually metabolize the metals or what have you into a form that can be excreted without blowing out your kidneys.
Right.
But if the liver is down, you know, if it's or being bypassed, well, that's another problem.
Now, I'm one of those people that have to work in the forefront of people that are supposedly being rated positive with this COVID-19. You know, they're constantly, and I've come to the conclusion they're really not coming down with it at all, because I don't think the virus is out there enough to really infect people. What they're coming down is the normal viruses that they always had, and they get over it, especially if they do the right things. But when I work with them, I know what sort of things to get them back on and what to get them to take away that they might be on. If they're on certain prescription drugs, I know that will be an immune-lowering mechanism, because prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death in this country, right behind cancer and heart attacks. And I can even make a strong argument that prescription drugs even bring on heart attacks.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah.
You know, so, but the point is, the vaccines are the most, let me say this. In the medical field, there are five correct rights. There's, whenever you give a patient or a client anything, you have to make sure that you have the right person in the first place. You dispense the right treatment at the right time, make sure the medication dose is the correct dose and the right amount. But the most important is the right route. And a vaccine bypasses what was already discussed. It bypasses the strong immune system of the body, the tonsils and the liver. It goes directly to the bloodstream, and it doesn't allow the body to deal with it with its natural immune system. So it is impossible for a vaccine to be injected directly into the bloodstream, right in the muscle, and work. Every vaccine that is used in this method is wrong, wrong, wrong. They don't have it right. The medical profession is dead wrong, and they know they're wrong. You cannot go that route.
Let me interject here for a moment. Some people would say, well, the proof is smallpox and polio disappearing and so forth with vaccines. But I have seen evidence put by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. showing that a lot of studies have been done. Hundreds of high-level studies that shows that they think it was the introduction of internal plumbing, better sewage, electric refrigerators, indoor plumbing hygiene. Those were really the cause for the diminishing of those diseases, not the vaccines. All natural causes are natural protections against the viruses.
Yeah, the polio vaccine was a complete failure. They claim it cured people, but in fact it really didn't. It actually brought on the very thing that they claimed they were trying to cure. And there was a particular study, I'd like to be able to bring out in my in my notes here, but I wanted to, before I get to that, I want to give you the reason why vaccinations are so bad. Here's what the ingredients and adjuvants that are in them. Now, I've heard vaccinations described as toxic cocktails of the most toxic substances on Earth. They are combined with live and dead animal viruses that have been cultured in monkey kidney tissue, cow tissue, goat tissue, pig tissue, and even aborted human fetuses. They contain any combination of the following: thimerosal, which is an ethyl mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, which is a carcinogenic embalming fluid, phenylethylene glycol, which is antifreeze. There's live viruses and bacteria and even acetone, just to name a few. And when you combine these together and bypass the tonsils and the liver, you're going to have tremendous negative side effects. Now, why do they put this stuff in? Well, because we're dealing with a diabolical agenda. We're dealing with psychotics. People that want to murder other people, just to be plain and honest. You start lowering people's immune systems in this fashion, like they did in 1918, just like Eleanor McMean said. They start, the viruses in their body already overtake them and they end up dying. Bring that information to our day, the way they do it is, right now in this first wave, they have not vaccinated people directly with, in consort with this particular virus. What they do is they prescription drugs, lower a person's immune system. They do the same vaccinations as they've done in the past. Eventually, the person's body breaks down, they get on a ventilator, and all of a sudden, they're dead. This is the reason why they've ordered so many more ventilators for hospitals. Up to date, I know there's 100, last count was 120,000. That they literally opened a factory just to make up ventilators. So this is the new modern-day Nazi-style Holocaust that is just now beginning, and the reason why I wanted to do this program is bring this information from the past to the present, because now we have a good idea what the agenda is. Now, I can't make it any more plainer than that, but everybody that I talk to knows that after they get done talking with me, they in no way want take this vaccine that they are trying to push on people, because there are, normally it takes about 10 years to test out a vaccine using 5 stages. And these are the bad ones that we've had in the past. The first stage is the discovery stage, which is the lab work. The second is the preclinical phase, which is the animal testing. The third is the clinical development phase, which is human testing. And the fourth is regulatory reviewing phase, which is determining the results. And then the fifth is the vaccine manufacturing phase. They're bypassing the first four and already going to the fifth.
Now, I'd want to recommend that Kennedy debate interview, because in that interview he talks about some of these things, giving actual numbers and figures and what particular companies are bypassing the animal testing altogether. Some have did animal testing and had bad results and decided to go on to the human testing. Some have done human testing and had bad results and they've decided to go on to the manufacturing phase. I mean, this is the one thing about this vaccine, which is apparently, allegedly different, is that they're going to use a piece of RNA from the virus, which has been taken out, and removing all of the, let's say, the bad qualities of the virus, and allowing enough of a footprint left so that your immune system could naturally develop immunity to it. I mean, it sounds nice on paper, but you're asking these companies who've all been convicted of wrongful death suit, killing hundreds of thousands of people knowingly. in their other drugs, all of a sudden going to be totally ethical, and you're relying on the new technology being safe and effective without proper testing of it. I mean, it's just theoretical at this point, and they're putting in these people are being tested who are in great shape, and they're getting mixed results to bad results on it, and now they're going to give it to the average person who's not in great shape, especially somebody who has conditions. Some of the people they tested on monkeys, they gave them the vaccine, and then they exposed the monkeys to the live virus, and they all got sick. Okay, so the vaccine did nothing, right? And other ones, they've exposed the two people who had the vaccine, got seriously ill, and had to be hospitalized. So what, in higher number, I mean, the monkeys are 100%, right? And in the humans, it was in 6 in one group and 30 in another group percent. Just imagine if you were putting a vaccine out that you told people that 6% of the vaccine takers would go to the hospital. I mean, that's like, what? That's crazy. And yet they're going forward with that. So all the stuff that we have in the past, which warns us of it, now you have a whole another layer of untested stuff in the future, all being fast-tracked, and they're trying to put it out prior to the election, which to me is another red flag. Why are you going to push it out to the election? What, so everybody gets sick and dies before the election? I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm paranoid here, but come on.
Yes, it's pure insanity, and I want to quote the words of an MD neurologist of the International Medical Council on Vaccinations, and she states, this is Susan Humphreys, "Vaccinations have never been safe, never has there been a safe vaccine, never will there be a safe vaccine, and it is not possible to have a safe vaccine." And she goes on to say, for the very same reasons that I've observed, you're bypassing the natural body's immune system. And these diabolical modern-day Nazis that want to vaccinate people, they know this. They know this. That's why they do it this way. They don't want people to live a good, healthy, long life. They want, and even the very beginning in 1786, which was the very founding father of vaccines, the England's Edward Jenner, he believed the superstition among the dairymaids that the person who had suffered cowpox could not contract the smallpox. So in 1786, for his initial human guinea pig test, Jenner scraped pus from the lesions from a cow and injected this pus into James Fields, an 8-year-old boy. A short time afterwards, he inoculated the boy with smallpox, and the smallpox did not take. Jenner believed that he had found the cure to smallpox. Over the next 12 years, that boy was inoculated over a dozen times and eventually died of tuberculosis at the age of 20. Jenner's own son also served as one of the guinea pigs and also died of tuberculosis at the age of 21. Since that time, researchers have linked tuberculosis to the smallpox vaccine. So the very beginning of vaccines is a total failure. They can't point to any vaccine that has ever worked. None of them have actually worked, and every time they destroy people's lives and kill, they cover up the facts.
Let me go.
This is what happened.
So let me go back to, I believe it's that lady's book, Eleonora. She, I think in our talking about this off air, it mentioned that back in those days, they tried to experiment by directly infecting people with the flu, healthy people with the flu. They were trying to figure out ways it worked. So they were intentionally trying to get people sick with the flu by injecting in them the mucus from those who had the flu, and they were unable to. Something like that, wasn't it?
Yes, that's on in the larger version of the book Virus Mania on page 298, and I'll just read it.
Okay.
Because it's very fascinating. In fact, this really caught my attention more than what she had to say, because these were scientists that were doing these tests. So I'll just read it. It's not that long. In order to be able to better assess the puzzling mass disease, an attempt to simulate infection was undertaken with volunteers in Boston in November of 1918. These were 62 healthy sailors charged with delinquency and sent to prison. They had been promised a pardon under the condition that they take part in an experiment. 39 of them had not influenza, so the theory was that they would be particularly susceptible to infection and illness. But the results proved nothing of the sort, as American scientific journalist Gina Colata describes in her book, Influenza. She states, Navy doctors collected the mucus from men who were desperately ill from the flu, gathering thick, viscous secretions from their noses and throats. They sprayed mucus from flu patients into the noses and throats of some men and dropped it into other men's eyes. In one attempt, they swabbed mucus from the back of the nose of a man with the flu and then directly swabbed one patient's nasal septum and rubbed it directly onto the nasal septum of one of the volunteers. Trying to simulate what happens naturally when people are exposed to flu victims, the doctors took 10 of the volunteers onto the hospital ward where men were dying of the disease. The sick men laid huddled on their narrow beds, burning with fever, drifting in and out of sleep and delirium. The 10 healthy men were given their instructions. Each was to walk up to the bed of a sick man and draw near them, lean into their face and breathe in fetus breath and chat with them for 5 minutes. To be sure that the healthy men had a full exposure to the sick man's disease, the sick man was to exhale deeply while the healthy man drew the sick man's breath directly into his own lungs. Finally, the blue victim coughed 5 times in the volunteer's face. This is quite an interesting test.
Yeah.
But each healthy volunteer repeated these actions with 10 different flu victims. Each flu patient had been seriously ill for no more than 3 days, a period when the virus or whatever it was that was causing the flu should still be around in his mucus, in his nose, and in his lungs. But not a single healthy man got sick.
Hmm.
So at their best, they could not get the sick people or the healthy people, sick. Another comparable experiment carried out under much stricter conditions took place in San Francisco with 50 imprisoned sailors. But once again, the results did not correspond with the doctors had expected. Scientists were stunned. If these healthy volunteers did not get infected with the Spanish flu, despite doctors' best efforts to make them ill, then what was causing the disease? How exactly did people get the flu? Well, that's, the synopsis is this. The vaccinations caused the dreaded pandemic. It was not the flu.
Now let's go back for a second. So before the vaccinations, people did get the flu, right? So, and they tried to test it to see how it transmitted, and they were unsuccessful. So for some reason, the people did get the flu, and that was never really discovered. But when they went to make the vaccine to stop the spread of it, which was happening, but it wasn't as bad as it turned out to be, they gave the vaccine, which then gave the flu easily to people. And as far as I remember our talk, the data shows that the bulk of the in 1910 flu came after the distribution of the vaccine.
Yes. Yeah, everybody gets sick sometime during the course of their lives. Some get sicker than others, but the culprit is not that they didn't get enough vaccines. The culprit is their immune system was lowered. It allowed the viruses that are already in your body. Your body actually needs viruses to fight in order to build up a good, strong immune system. So if you don't have viruses, you've got to, your immune system starts weakening